Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Infinite Weekly, an extension of the Infinite Lives and Games podcast. I'm your host, Victor Diaz, also known by my gamer tag as Seth Infinite. On Infinite Weekly, we've got gamer reviews, we got discussions, we got rants, laughs, we got it all. And today, we have yet another returning guest on the show, Jeffrey Scott Arroyo. If you guys have not checked out our last episode, it was on Super Smash Brothers for Wii U. It was a very humbling and awesome episode, talking about friendships, talking about his career, talking about life, and just a lot of memories. If you guys don't know Jeffrey Scott, I still can't say your name, bro. I refer to this dude as Deka. I've known him as Deka since we've been playing Smash forever, and throughout the remainder of this show, I'm still gonna call him Deka.
That's but, who I am, bro.
Yeah, let's get it. And happy to have you back on the show. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing really good. I'm excited for this. We're gonna have some fun topics today that I'll let Vic introduce us to. But it's great to be back. Whoever's listening, if you liked the last episode, or if you haven't heard the last episode, go check it out. Like Vic said, I think you have a good time too.
Absolutely. And wait, before we get into the topic, I just want to say something real quick. Deka, did you know that your episode got the most compliments?
No, but that's awesome. You know, I was a little afraid because not because we had such a wonderful conversation and I felt like it was really cool for us, but I was like, maybe I'm being too honest because like I called myself like a prick and like an asshole and stuff like that. I was like, what if people don't like me because of that?
No.
I guess they like the honesty.
But you know what the biggest takeaway? I mean, obviously, you know, it was all the topics that we mentioned, but there was a lot of compliments on your voice, bro.
Oh my gosh.
I know. You got so many comments. Yo, who is this man? His voice is elegant. It's very nice and calming. I was like, Deka's putting the moves on my show. Even my fiance commented on it. She was like, wow, he sounds really nice.
Thank you, everybody. I do appreciate your kind words. Thank you so much.
Hey, let's get it. But today we're going to be talking about board games, tabletop, whichever way you want to take it. It's the same topic. But I'm really excited to do this episode because we've been playing a lot of board games recently. It's been a great time. And Deka, did you start collecting games recently or you've been collecting?
I want to say maybe about 3 years ago is when I first started, because I was introduced by board games. You know, we always kind of like grew up with like Uno and Monopoly. So technically, mm-hmm. I feel like everyone kind of plays board games, but it's been so many years before the last three that I actually started intentionally playing and collecting more. So yeah, I would say fairly recently.
Yeah, I'm excited because you're very enthusiastic about it. You introduced us to a lot of different games that were quite frankly a lot of fun.
I like that you're saying that because while you're someone who loves games, I feel like there's always a, not necessarily like a barrier, but there's like a certain mindset when it comes to board games because people are like, oh yeah, I played Monopoly when I was a kid.
Oh yeah, it's I'll okay. play Uno.
Exactly, I'll play Uno with my family, but people aren't necessarily thinking, yeah, I could sit down and play a board game for hours as like someone who plays all these awesome video games that are coming out. Like people aren't really going to say, I'd rather spend an afternoon playing like something together rather yeah. I could be playing, you know, whatever favorite game they have.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned two great points and it's a great segue into the beginning of this discussion because one, you said, you know, as kids we all played Uno, we all played Monopoly, what are the other ones?
Candyland, Life.
Yeah, Life. So these Jumanji. Are household classic board games that people played once in a while. What were some of the ones that you played mostly when you were a kid?
All right, so I'll say this counts. For those of you who are Spanish, you probably know the word lotería.
Lotería?
Do you know what I'm talking about, Vic?
Man, I'm Spanish, like, I don't even know.
Oh, shit, okay. All right, maybe it's just Guatemalans. I don't know. But it's like Spanish bingo.
Oh, okay.
So that's one that we played a lot because like you have all the different cards and like you read it out and it's really easy to play with a large group of people. So I play that at like family get-togethers and the holidays and stuff. So aside from the traditional like Candyland Uno, I would say Loteria is probably the one I definitely played the most, at least with family.
Loteria. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, you got it. Loteria. All
right, we got some Loteria next time, bro.
I got you.
But yeah, you know, it's funny. I didn't play a lot of well, I didn't play like those Spanish things. My family loved Trouble. It's a game where you like hit the center and it pops, and then you move around the board and you gotta get all your pieces home. My parents absolutely loved that game, and they would play like 1v1. My parents. You can hear them from the room, you know, like, yo, like, nah, you cheating, put the piece back. Like, that was their shit. So then they started to get us into it. And so we played Trouble, obviously Uno, Bingo. They still play Bingo to this day. And I wanted to go on to the next point that you mentioned because you said there is a barrier. I don't know if it's created after a certain amount of time or people just, I guess, lose their board games or they don't. So, what do you think is the most common factor that makes that barrier and why people stop playing board games?
That's a great question, Vic. I think it's because it's kind of like a generational thing now, especially where everyone's, and this isn't a rant about how like technology's bad or we're too dependent or anything like that, but you know, when we were growing up, we had kids' toys, right? And like kids still play with toys now, but like people get phones and iPads at a very early
Yo,
age. And so
word.
when you look at a board game, right, where it has like no outlets, no screens, none of that, like
No
new feature stuff.
LEDs, no.
It looks old school and it's like, sure, but that's kind of like, that's like some boomer thing or like, you know, from people when they didn't have all this technology. Like, why would I play that when I can play so many different games in this world?
People stop playing video games, do you think? What's the reason behind that one?
I would say anecdotally, I'm sure there's research on this and whatnot. And let's just say for the research side, like sometimes video games, especially the violent ones, can get a bad rep. So people, I think the science kind of contradicted it, but people would say like violent video games make you violent. So there's like a movement at some point where the like parents were really against it and stuff. So depending on, let's say, the type of parents you had, because there are the parents who are like very sheltering and they're like, no, my kid's not going to play Grand Theft Auto. And then there's also the parents who are like not paying attention to what the rating is on the game, so they'll buy their kid anything. So I would say, you know, depending on your parents and your upbringing, maybe you may not even have that much access to video games growing up. For those that grew up playing video games and stopped, I think, and not to get religious, but there's like a Bible verse that kind of fits this. It's more or less along the lines of like paraphrasing here. When I was a boy, I did things as a boy, but now that I'm a man, it's like time to put that stuff away. It more or less, that's like the message or something like that. So in other words, even though now it's so much more mainstream, let's say, to like video games and hobby nerd stuff previously thought of as like kind of bad, but now it's like so much more acceptable. But still, there's that kind of thing where people, as adults, like you kind of welcome responsibility, all this other stuff, and you also run out of time. So time is so much more limited. So I think that and I'm sure you could tell us all about it, Vic, but you know, when you have a significant other that
Oh,
you're connecting your
Jesus.
life with, if you have children, like you know, you're so spread out with you what you can do. So people ultimately, I think.
Yeah, just yes, it's no time for that. You know, you mentioned a lot of good
Exactly.
points there. First off, hold on. Monopoly got real violent, all right? You get violent with video games, man. There have been some board games and some shit and some arguments over a Monopoly game because those shits go on for hours and people would get crazy. I know there'd be some arguments. So, and then you also mentioned your significant others and you know playing with family. And it's funny enough, my fiance, she grew up playing Scrabble and there's a couple other stuff too. But personally, her and I sometimes we will still play board games from time to time. It's a kind of you know it's not it doesn't again like you said there's not a lot of time for it. You make the time for it, right? So sometimes after dinner we will sit down and play a couple board games, and it's definitely it's a lot different than you might expect. Sitting around by a fireplace and just talking and having a great time, and feel like over the ages it's dwindled. The fireplace of board games, it's not the same.
Yeah, I would say so, definitely. And even just speaking on a commercial level, like let's say the industry itself, I can tell you because we can talk more about this later, but to go into a little bit of a recent event that I went to, PAX Unplugged, So that's a convention for folks who may not know of it. Maybe you've heard of PAX East. I think there's maybe a West version too. It's like a huge video game convention. You have all the big video game companies. And so
Nice.
they recently created a PAX Unplugged, which is dedicated all to tabletop stuff. So in other words, board games,
Oh,
trading
that's
cards,
nice.
Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah, it was such a cool event. It was in Philadelphia. I went this past December. Fantastic event. If you like board games, highly recommend it. Come out, it is so much fun. But the size of that convention was tiny compared to PAX East, where you have all these gaming companies like Microsoft and Activision and all that stuff. Although I guess now they're one and the same.
Which is
So
crazy in its own.
yeah,
For
it's a
another video,
story for
another.
another time. But yeah, so it's just like people don't necessarily see it the same way. People aren't like running to stores to buy the nearest board game. You know, it's like there are places that'll sell it. You could buy it on Amazon. You could find it anywhere you wanted to. But thinking about it like this, it's and we'll also talk about a way how you can do this. But traditionally, playing board games, you have to go to someone's house. You have to be in person to do so. Whereas, you know, if you pull up Overwatch, right? Like you can do that from your house. Your friend can be in another state. Like Vic is in Florida. We can still play, we being in New York. So it's kind of like there's the convenience of not having to go around and play your games that way. So I think that's kind of why the fire burned out, because back in the day, not to sound old or anything, but you know, you'd go to your friends' houses. Like everyone would be at one spot and you'd be hanging out, you go to the park, whatever, you come home. Or if it's a rainy day, then you're bringing out the trouble, the Monopoly. And Monopoly is a friendship killer, I'll tell you.
That's what I'm saying, bro. No,
And
absolutely.
that's one of the cool things, and I hope we get to talk about this for sure more, and I'll bring it up again, but I think one of the coolest things for me about board games is that people who don't even play board games can really get into it, because even with
Absolutely.
Monopoly, right? Like there's nothing really at stake, but people will get so into it, like so, and passionate is so heated, and like you said, arguments will happen, and it's like none of this is real, but
Like,
it's
you're
so
really not
cool
gonna sell
because
that to
people
me,
like
bro?
want to
Like,
win. Yeah.
come on.
Emotions are real, you know? And that's what I like. Like in that moment, in that session, especially some of the games will cover, you know, you have betrayal, you have deceit, you have alliances, you have scheming. People can act ways they may not traditionally act, and do it in a way that's acceptable, because you know, you don't want to lie to your friends, you don't want to cheat your friends. But sometimes when it's built into the game, it can be fun and you can laugh about it. Or you can hold small grudges, but still at the end of the day, you know, it's all good fun.
Those grudges will last a minute, man. But you've definitely mentioned some good key points, and we'll start off with well, first off, what are some of your favorite board games? Let's start off with that.
Sure. One game, and it's gonna sound kind of weird for those of you who've never heard of it before, but one game I certainly do love is called Secret Hitler.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So sorry for anyone who is of
Right, man.
Of Jewish beliefs, but the game is basically a game where you are playing as either socialists or fascists. I believe it's kind of more or less like World War II era, and the idea here is kind of similar to real politics, is that some of them are kind of like the evil fascist party being the players, one also being Hitler. The others are like the good guys, and you're all trying to work together. But in reality, the bad guys are working against you, and they're purposely trying to like screw you over. So it's a game where you know, you have to put on like a poker face. You have to act like you're a good guy when you're a bad guy. And when you're a good guy, you have no idea who is actually a bad guy. So you're trying to figure out from context, from the way people are behaving, the way people are like playing the game. So it's really cool. And once you get both sides, I personally think being a bad guy is more fun, because
Oh, always, always.
you have more power, and it's so fun to like mess with people, because people, you can really screw with people. Like they'll trust you. They'll be like, yes, you would never break like go against me. I trust you so much. And then you screw them over, and they like utter disbelief the fact that you're bad.
It's like, oh, you shot me.
Oh my God. And one thing I'll say now is, if a board game ever lets me kill people in it, if someone is doing something I don't like, I will kill that person on principle. I don't even care if they're on my team.
Told you on that last episode, man, he may seem quiet, He may seem nice, but he's evil. No, no, joke. Nah, but what's some your other favorite games?
One of the other favorite games I have, and this is like a quick shout out to those guys, is there's a game, and I recently showed Vic and everyone from our group. It's called Valiant Wars. So much fun. It was literally my favorite game at PAX Unplugged. I met the developers, really cool
people.
Really?
That's awesome.
Yes, it's so much fun. They have so much, like, how would I put it, accessibility, because they have a Discord and everything. So when we have questions about the game, they're very responsive. Yeah, so shout outs to those guys. They're fantastic. And actually, I like kind of help a little bit with playtesting some of the stuff for them. So
oh, really?
Yeah, after talking to them, I'm like, hey, if you guys ever want me to like help you, let me know. So I've been testing some of their Valiant Wars upcoming stuff. So
nice. You
shout
know,
out to those guys. They're
it's
fantastic.
A really fun game, and one of the things that I liked about it was that it was so easy to get into.
Yes, that one is. Even though it's a deck building game, which can sometimes sound intimidating because it's like, oh, I've never played like Yu-Gi-Oh, so how do I do that? It's like you said, super easy to learn. The games are somewhat quick, and anyone can play it, from like your younger sibling to like your significant other, basically.
What are some key mechanics in games that, in overall board games, that you look for or that you like? Because, you know, you've mentioned deck building, you've mentioned, you know, deceit and kind of trying to figure things out. So what are some of your mechanics, or your favorite mechanics in games?
I think social deception
killing
is
people.
Definitely one of my favorite. Yeah, I would say social deception is really cool. And besides like Secret Hitler, there's a similar version that's more of like King Arthur called Avalon. So anything that allows me to try to uncover who my enemies might be, or allows me to be an enemy and kind of like act like a spy of sorts, I think those are really awesome. And kind of like what I was saying a little bit earlier, that it lets you act in ways you don't normally act. So for many of you who don't know me, I'm very like, well, unless you really, really get to know me, I'm very polite, usually. Like, I will be polite to you for the longest time, probably forever. I will usually say please and thank you, be a little weird like that. But when these board games come out, like, I just, you know, I do not hold back. I don't inhibit myself. Like, I'm never an asshole to people or anything like that, not to give anyone the wrong impression. What I mean is, like, I will actively try to, to fuck you. Like, mind fuck you. Yeah, like, I will. And I can be petty, too, especially. So these games are a blast for me. But that's why I like it so much, because I can never be like that in reality, because it's such a horrible way to live. But in the board games, it's designed where you have to be that way to win,
to
right?
Win,
yeah. So, and the thing I like too is that on the other side of that narrative, whenever I play with people who are not good liars, it is also super fun, because it's such a, it's like a struggle for them to try to lie to you, where it becomes like comical in a sense, because they're so bad at it, but they still want to play. And so it's like,
yeah, they start sweating and moving their eyeballs real fast.
Exactly. So whether you're good at lying to your friends or whether you're bad at it, like, there's always something that's fun or funny about it. So I think that's really cool. And maybe for one more mechanic that I would say,
sure,
I think one of the best mechanics, which is why I like Valiant War so much, is a game that lets you play simultaneously. Everyone is able to play together. I have other deck building games, for example, that it's more like a modern trading card, where it's like, I'll take my turn, you take your turn. And sometimes, you know, when you're not taking your turn, you're kind of bored, right?
Yeah.
You're waiting. But with a game like Valiant Wars, everyone's playing at the same time. So everyone's in it, everyone's together. So it's not like everyone is like, oh, you know, this is kind of fun, but I wish I got to play more. Like, that never really happens, because we're all literally playing at the same time.
You mentioned a lot of great points here. I want to focus in on that one. Patience. Nowadays, I believe, it's in my honest and humble opinion, that we don't have a lot of patience, man. Like, we always want the next hit of everything that's on the screen, that's being advertised to us on Facebook, you know, scrolling and on YouTube, on to the next video. Board games, they take a lot of patience, and you mentioned that word, patience. And I wanted to comment on that. I wanted to get your opinion on that too, because patience is definitely key in a lot of these games, where, you know, you're trying to figure things out, you're trying to figure out the rules because you haven't played it the first time. And a lot of people can't really just sit down for like 5 seconds and really play a game. So what do you have to say about that whole dynamic of patience and getting people into playing board games?
That is a perfect question. And I'm glad I have an answer for you on that, because One of the easiest ways that especially game companies will do it that I saw at the event is they will simplify the game and make it like a demo version with like a custom set of rules. So it's not the full game. And that way you are able to get the gist of it. But once you learn the game and you're able to adapt to strategy and whatnot, then you get the additional features. So I think that's an awesome way that people have tackled that same challenge. Now, that isn't to say all games still are able to run, even if they do that. Some of them are still going to be overly complicated. Some of them are not as entry beginner level friendly. And it's so bad too, because sometimes these games take hours, like intentionally. Like Catan is maybe like a full hour of gameplay. So if you're learning it for the first time, that first hour might be hell for you. It might be awesome. It could go either way. But I think that the best part about it, to be able to overcome that issue too, is that ideally you are playing with friends and loved ones rather than like a bunch of people you hate or people you don't know.
Oh, strangers, yeah.
So that kind of helps to overcome the issue because, like, even if you have no idea what's going on, you're able to joke around with whoever you're playing with, you're able to ask them questions. And if you have like a good group that's like used to teaching people how to play board games and things like that, then you're usually in good hands. And now, 100% agree, people are definitely impatient. My own girlfriend, for example, kind of a little bit on the short fuse side. No, that's not to say like it's a bad quality or putting her on the spotlight or whatever, but like that's more to say that even though she is a little bit less patient than I am, she still has a great time playing board games because whether that be as a gamer or maybe someone who's played board games a few times at this point, she understands the payoff of like, okay, once I learn the rules, then I get to have a good time.
Hey man, yeah, that's awesome. My fiance definitely does not have patience to play. I mean, surprisingly, sometimes in board games, but only in the board games that she knows already and how to play and, and win. It's definitely something that I feel people should think about. Not just board games, just the overall topic of patience and just being there. And I feel like board games, video games, or whatever medium that you're into, just practice just being there. Don't you agree, man?
When you have a good session going, there's basically a scene where people aren't really on their phones together. So, if you're like sitting with a group and you're eating, people are like conversating, they're on their phones and stuff. But when you have a good session, like those Monopoly heated, like people are ready to argue and disagree type of thing, you're not going to really see people on their phone as much because they're invested. They're invested into the exercise, the activity, what you're doing. I mean, maybe they'll pull up their rules or something and look something up on their phone. But for the most part, the purpose of these games, if they're well designed, is to engage the players, is to make sure that everyone's able to, let's say, compete, be able to have fun. So, with that, it's kind of like a good game with a good group. You're never going to really have too many instances where people are clocked out. I mean, it can still happen because they're not for everybody, for sure. I can't say that. Although I would want to sell that. There's a board game for everyone, but until you find it, sure, you may have that issue. But again, if you have a good group and if you have the right game, I think it's like, why haven't I been playing board games sooner?
Hey, I like a lot of stuff that you said there. There's a board game for everyone. I feel that. I definitely feel that. I want to get into the topic of being someone else while you're playing the board games. And this will stem into that a lot of people know Dungeons and Dragons. Now, I know, we're not too familiar. Like, I am definitely not familiar with it, but I just had to mention it because it is a board game podcast. And, it's definitely one of the biggest board games out there. And I would definitely like to get into it. But being with the whole being someone else thing, can you elaborate on that?
I think part of that is, and that's a wonderful question too, is folks really sometimes want an escape, right? People want a way to kind of exercise their creative muscles or to be someone else for a day or, however long they're playing the event for. And Dungeons and Dragons is such a great way to do that. And it's become so much more popular. Like, Stranger Things was a great way of like how a bunch of kids playing D&D turned into like a whole
Yeah.
real life monster
Nice one.
scenario and all that. But I think what's really attracted to people, and you have celebrities who play too, like I think the guy from the Fast and Furious, the one who always says family,
Vin
Vin
Diesel?
Diesel? Vin Diesel, yeah, I'm
Vin
pretty sure
Diesel.
he plays.
No way.
I if I'm not mistaken, I think the Chronicles of Riddick was something tied into like his D&D campaign, or maybe it was a book
Nice.
series. I
That's
don't know.
dope.
But yeah, so long story short, there are a lot of cool like celebrities that play it, and everyone kind of likes to just be like a warrior or something. Whatever you're into, right? Like if you when you people play video games, for example, right? When they're the hero, when they're this like awesome person who's saving the world or whatever the instance is, it's like, sure, you're playing it for the graphics, for like the combat and all that. But at the end of the day, a good game is going to make you feel like you're, if you're playing Spider-Man, right? Miles Morales or whatever. Like you want to be that person in the game. And I think that translates super well to D&D because the whole point of it is, we all have imaginations, even if some of us are a little rusty from when we were kids. But you can, you can do something maybe that you wouldn't normally do. Like we're not running to save villages from ogres or something, right? But like you take the idea that you could be brave, you could make good choices, and you could do something that will bring you satisfaction, whether that's being good or even being evil
Let's
or
go.
doing whatever you want.
Yeah, don't.
But I think that D&D is a cool way, and no matter what background you come from, if you're willing to be open-minded and accept what it is and not be judgmental in a sense, I think it's one of the easiest ways for you to be able to do that. Because if you close your mind off to think, oh, that's only for losers, or like who wants to do that, but then you sit down and try for yourself, you may have a different experience. You might say, wow, I was wrong. I actually enjoy this. I think it's kind of cool. And certainly after that, it may not be for everybody, but if you're w really willing to open your mind, consider the fact that, I'm not Jeff, right? Like right now I'm Deka, like Smash player, board game player, like whatever, if I play D&D would be. And then I'm gonna go on this adventure with my friends. We're gonna try and help each other out, accomplish this quest. Shit's probably gonna get crazy, and we'll see what happens at the end of the day.
No, I love it. Yeah, it's definitely something that. And here's a big thing. As we get older, we don't have the time, right? We don't make the time for these things. And I want to say the biggest thing for a lot of people, I refer to it as my inner child. You could refer to him or her or whatever it is, however you want. But for me, a lot of people lose touch with that inner child. And it's too important in your life, with your friends, with family, to neglect him or her or that thing. And I remember being at an airport one day, right? And there was a baby crying on the floor. It was just raging, like just on the floor, like right? And my fiance, she said one of the biggest things that I've ever heard in my life. She's like, that kid right there is doing what everybody is feeling at this very moment. 'Cause it was packed. Like the airport was packed and everyone was like, oh, I don't wanna be here. You could see it in their faces. But she said what everybody was feeling. She was like, yo, that kid is literally us. Everybody in this airport is feeling what that kid's feeling. We're just not allowing ourselves to tap into that. Obviously, because it would be chaos. Like imagine a bunch of people crying on the floor at the airport. You know what I'm saying? But my point is that we all have that inner child, and I believe and wholeheartedly want everyone to tap into that person. Give them the chocolate ice cream, play that board game, and become a spellcaster, become a musician, or I don't know, an airbender, something, just to get him out, to get him or her out there and really express and enjoy life. 'Cause that's what it all comes down to, don't you agree?
I think 100%, and what Lauren said is that was really cool. I actually do agree. That was really powerful. And yeah, 100%. You got to find your outlet. You got to let yourself be silly. You got to let yourself be a little goofy. You can't take yourself seriously all the time because it gets exhausting. If that's like you said, getting the ice cream, or just trying to be someone else for a day and see how it goes. And maybe you might like something about that person you role played as, and you might try to emulate more of those
Yeah, or
traits in
incorporate
yourself.
those traits in your day-to-day life. Absolutely, 1000.
Exactly.
I wanted to talk about the gap between video games, right? Because back in the days, we used to sit around and go to each other's houses and still play video games on the couch, co-op and stuff like that before everything became online. And now everything's digital. So the topic of board games kind of being like in the middle of that.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful point for the folks listening to hear because, you know, whether you're a gamer, which is probably why you're listening to this podcast, or you're somebody who's maybe new to the hobby and trying to learn some things here and there. Yes, exactly. We live in such a digital age where things are, you know, you could do anything from home and just about anything with anyone, really. Especially, you know, communicating, phone calls, Zoom calls. It's like there's so many ways to tap into people while still being in your own space, but how that plays into board games is that you certainly will always have, just like from a market perspective, the challenge of people are able to play games where, for example, there's a game series that's called Divinity. I think the latest is Divinity 2 that's out
Divinity.
for a few years ago, which is basically like Dungeons and Dragons, but it's built into like an RPG. So think of like Skyrim, sort of. Yeah, so it kind of plays like an RPG, but it has so many D&D elements that it's basically D&D if they turn that into a game.
Nice. Okay. All right.
And so even with something like that, right, like you can play that with your friends, which probably is easier than trying to do D&D over Zoom or over Discord. Not to say people don't do it, because people definitely do it all the time, especially with COVID and everything. But the idea is that, again, with the time, you're competing, right? So you have your consumer, you have so many different appealing options, but ultimately, whether it's the most convenient option or the option that offers the most, let's say, fulfillment or satisfaction in that same period, they're going to go towards that. So that can be the challenge of the gap, as we're saying, between the board games and video games. However, I think that on the bright side, there is a pro to it too. What I mean by that is that now, when you're at someone's house, because games have sort of relied so much more on co-op, there are games that actually have no story mode that are full online multiplayer, right? But the problem too is not too many of those games anymore have couch co-op.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I played like a
Yeah.
good couch co-op.
Exactly. And so because of that, there has been a void that board games have been easier to fill, because since you have so many cool and innovative board games that aren't like the old school Monopoly as much, although that game still could be fun, that can say, wow, like this is really cool. I didn't expect to have this much fun being in the same place, because, like, you know, typically for gaming sessions, unless everyone brings their own system, has multiple setups, like a tournament or something like a Smash tournament, right? It can still be fun. Some games are still divined to be like couch co-ops, like Smash, right? The online for Smash Ultimate is awful. Is yes, it is. You know, Sakurai's awesome. The team's awesome. Thank you guys for making that. But
Yeah, shout
the
out to
online is
them.
just not as great for the age we live in, right?
Totally.
But as a couch co-op game, it's like, yes, if you have four people, maybe a little bit
Oh, it's a
more,
blast. It's
because
the
you can
best.
rotate. Exactly. It feels that, because if you're trying to play Overwatch and you have six people at your house, it's not going to work out. At that point, it literally becomes, we can't play Overwatch unless everyone goes home, basically.
Yeah, that's even crazy to even say that sentence. Like,
Exactly. And because of that, you know, you whip out the secret Hitler and it's like, okay, let's all have a blast, right? And that there are games, because I think I forgot to mention too, like how many players these games kind of fill. There are many games that are like in the 4 or 5 player range, but there's also like Secret Hitler, Avalon, and a few others to name them, is around 10 players cap. And there's I think it's like Ultimate Werewolf. There's also a game called Mafia, which I think it almost has no limit. Like, yeah, you can play it in the hundreds range. There's also like the Jackbox games, which are
Oh
more like
yeah.
virtual board games, but I will still count those,
Nah, yeah, I
where you
think
can play
so.
thousands.
It's a great segue into the next topic, but I'm glad that you mentioned Jackbox, and just to touch on your point that you said about people. Yeah, now we're all at the house and we can't play this online game. So now we have to pull out a game. I believe that that's a very great point, something that I really didn't think about. And oftentimes we will get together too. I didn't see it that way, but now it's like, yeah, like, you know, if we all want to, because we're gamers, we all want to have fun. When we get together, we all want to have fun. So one of the things is like, yeah, there's only a four player cap on Smash or whatever. Well, not anymore, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we can't play Overwatch. We can't play all these online things that we play together. So when we get together, it's like you have to find something to play, and board games are a great answer. So I really like that. And you mentioned Jackbox, and we've played a couple of Jackbox games, right? all these, you know, drink while drinking and stuff like that. I do not condone drinking in this podcast, but I want to get into the topic of digital board games and digital games, because you recently introduced us to tabletop on PC and stuff. So can you talk about the digital age of board games, unless you want to make any other points about the last question I asked?
No, I think that's a great segue. I'm glad we're on the same page. And yes, we could definitely talk about TTS. Nice. So as Vic mentioned, Tabletop Simulator, or TTS, is an awesome game that's on Steam. I believe it's typically about like $20, usually does go on sale very easily. I'm not sponsored by them, but I'll tell you that they sell like a 4-player pack, which is like a reduced cost always. So that way, you know, if you have 4 friends or even 3 friends and you keep a leftover pass for someone later, you could all buy it at a much cheaper price. And what it does, kind of like in the name, is that it simulates you being around a table and you're able to bring different games into there. Now, what I really love, and that's a shout out to the community of the people who upload it and you know, do all these awesome let's say steps to bring these games to Tabletop Simulator, mm-hmm. is that you are able to play games from a feature of the game where you can not even, let's say, download, yes, almost like modifications. So for example, Valiant Wars, the developers of it actually put it up there, so it's the official version of it, and so you can play for free if you have Tabletop Simulator. So the game itself, I think, is maybe like $20-$30, which is still such an awesome buy, so I recommend it. But if you have Tabletop Simulator, or if you get Tabletop for like $10, you have access to Valiant Wars, which is, let's say, a $30 game, in addition to so many other games that are on there. There's literally like thousands of games, so you can find a lot of things. I'm not going to say everything is up there, because some of them are like fan made that people put up there. Some of them are actually from the company. Some of them you can still buy if you want to for the official version of it, but you're able to play with your friends. So Vic mentioned, you know, we showed him Tabletop Simulator. He's in Florida. He's been playing Valiant Wars a few times with us. You're able to hop on Discord. You're able to there's pros and cons. Like, if you're a trading card game player, you're going to love the feel of physical cards in your hand, as opposed to like if you're on TTS, where the controls can be a little clunky at first.
I was going to say that, but once you get used to
it, I even felt the same way. Even as much as I love board games, I was like, I don't know. But it's like once you get used to it and the controls aren't an issue, then you're really playing the game. And the cool thing too, which I really like personally, is that when you're sitting around a table in person, it can be a little bit hard to see the setup of the other players, because you kind of have to like lean over or like move over to see like the other person's board. But in Tabletop Simulator, you have full access to everything. You can also zoom in on cards. You can like create events, items. So for example, after playing with the developer of Valiant Wars, I learned that you can add like a little counter item where it helps you keep track of your power in the game. Oh. There's also a buzzer, which is kind of like the Family Feud buzzer, I guess, or whatever game show it would be. So like in the game, when you want to buy characters from the shop, you have to yell stop. But like if more than one person yells it close to the same time, the person who said it first would go first. But it's hard to really say like who said it first. So the buzzer, you click on it, it shows it in the chat too, so it'll actually have proof of the fact that you did it first.
Who picked first? Like, clicked on the buzzer first.
Exactly.
Oh, dope.
So it's really convenient in that sense, and I think it's a wonderful way to kind of bridge the gap that we were talking about earlier. Vic can tell you his honest opinion on how it was, because he recently played it, having never really knew what it was, maybe heard of it. Yeah. As someone who is new to it, what did you think of it?
Yeah, like you mentioned, the controls were definitely clunky. I felt like I was moving around with baby hands and you know, trying to like figure out how to move my gondole brain. Like, I was just like, how do I function? But other than that, you know, and once you get past that, it really felt like we were together. It really felt like we were by the fireplace, like I always say, and talking and just chilling and making fun of each other, like going through rounds, because we went through a lot of rounds when we were first playing. And it's inviting. It's very inviting because you hear the other people and you can learn a lot of these games pretty fast, especially the ones on the tabletop. They have like a lot of classic games in there too, I believe, right? You can basically play anything on it.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of them. Catan is certainly, I think Catan, it is one that I really enjoyed too, is kind of like a gateway board game where if you can play Catan and like it, you're going to be a board game player basically. Whether you buy them or whether you play with the person who has them, like you learn that game and you'll basically play any of them.
What are some of the best board games that you can introduce to people who haven't played board games in a long time, who don't like board games, or even want to get into the tabletop that we just mentioned digitally, and they want to gather their friends and play with them? So what are some of the games that you recommend?
Thank you. That's a wonderful point. And I'll list these in no particular order. These are just like some of the ones I own personally. So it's like full disclosure that I'm not just saying them, but I've never bought them myself. I have these games and I can tell you they're a lot of fun. I play them with people who've never touched them before and they usually have really good positive responses. So Secret Hitler, I'll say Secret Hitler slash Avalon. I'll consider them more or less the same game, just different settings.
Wait, can we play Secret Hitler on tabletop?
Yeah, I actually do have it on tabletop.
Hey,
Yeah,
let's
we just
go.
need at least five people.
Continue, continue.
Yes. So yes, those two. I also recommend, this is one that I think if you're a trading card game player, you're gonna really like. It's called Disney Villainous. Super fun game. It is basically like the Disney villains. Like you are trying to actually play as them. You have your decks, you have this deck of cards that's like the heroes and everyone trying to stop you, so you can screw over players with those cards. And so if you have, like, let's say your favorite Disney villain is Jafar or Ursula or Hades from Hercules, you know, you get to
Nice.
play those villains, and it's cool because it's the official like Disney brand, so you have all the awesome artwork, you have scenes from the movies. There's also a Marvel version too, so if
Okay.
you're like a really big Marvel fan, you know, you might find that really cool because you can play as like Thanos, for example.
Oh, we all want to be some kind of Thanos, right?
That's right. So, you know, if you're really into the movies and you want to try playing as one of the villains you see on the screen, definitely cool one to check out. Valiant Wars for sure. We talked about that one, so I'll kind of skim over it. For ones that are kind of like quick and pick up and go type of thing, two that I definitely recommend that are easy to learn is Coup, that's Coup, super
COU.
fun game. The games are designed to be like 15 minutes, and you could play 2 to 6 players. Super fun. The other one that I really like is Cockroach Poker.
Cockroach poker. What's
Did
this?
we play that one, Vic?
Did it, like, the deck of cards have a bunch of insects on them and you had to like call out who had what in their hands?
Exactly,
Oh,
exactly. Like, this is a cockroach, this is a fly. Yeah.
I was pretty bad at
It's a like a poker face type of game. You have to be
that.
kind of good at lying, but it's simple. It's like a 50-50, but
Totally, totally.
that one is super fun as well and designed to be brief games, like 15 minutes or so. One that I also really like too, and these are like, let's say, a little bit more advanced. So if you have some board games under your belt and you've been looking for a new one that I really like too is called Betrayal at the House on the Hill.
Ooh.
For those of you who are fans of scary movies or have ever seen like Scooby-Doo growing up, it's kind of like, for a movie, the most accurate way of putting it is that movie Cabin in the Woods. Have you seen that one, Vic?
Oh, I've totally seen that movie. Oh my God. I don't want to get into that movie, but it did like a complete 360. It started off one way, and then I'm like, what is happening? And then like they get sacrificed and this whole thing. Yo, go check out that movie. It's super ridiculous.
Yes, if you're like a horror genre fan, definitely check out that movie, like Vic said. And in case you've seen it, I'll talk a little bit about it without spoiling maybe too much. But more or less, the idea is the classic like teenager gang, like Scooby-Doo, are in a haunted house, and the game has so many different scenarios depending on what happens. So in the movie Cabin in the Woods, you have like these, let's say, agents looking at screens of the teenagers in there, and they're like betting on what curse they're going to activate or what monster is going to come out. So like when they're in the basement, I think they're playing around with like some pearls or something, and there's this one guy who bet money that like mermaids are going to come out or something. So it's kind of like depending on what haunted item the players get at a point in the game, something like a mermaid monster can appear, or like werewolves, or all this other stuff. The reason why it's like advanced is because it's like a kind of like a dungeon crawler sort of, because you have tiles that you continue to build. So you start off with like a few beginning spaces and there's a deck of tiles. So it's like if you want to, from the main lobby, move to the left, the next room over, you're going to pick a tile from the deck and you're going to put it down. And that tile is going to give you stuff. It's going to have an event, an item that you can get, or some other stuff that I'll say. So if you ever really want to try kind of like a longer, more like intricate game, that one is a lot of fun, but the games can definitely easily be over an hour.
I wanted to ask, what are your, like, because we mentioned your collection, do you want to talk a little bit about your collection of board games that you have so far?
And one of the cool things too, before I answer your question, is when you have other people that also like board games, the really cool thing is that if you play or hang out with them somewhat regularly, you don't have to buy the same game unless you want to, because you're usually going to be able to see that person of have access to it too.
Right,
or you can even borrow it from them.
Good point. Yeah, definitely. I didn't think about that.
So it's kind of like, game sharing? Mm-hmm. Like before game sharing was a thing. So you have access to it, which is actually, like you're saying, it's very cost effective, because like some board games can rival the cost of an actual game. Most of them are like in the $30, $40 range. Some of them are much cheaper, but like, you know, if you're trying to game on a budget, yeah, buy like a game each between your friends. Or, you know, you can even like gift it to the person for their birthday, Christmas or whatever. And that way, you know, you'll know they have it. You can play it with them. They might like it. And you can kind of create a little group for yourself of board games and whatnot. But for my collection, I'll just kind of briefly go through the list. So I have... Catan, that's a Game of Thrones version of the game, which is cool.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. There's Secret Hitler Avalon. There's a game called Deception, Murder in Hong Kong. That one's pretty fun too. Disney Villainous, Ultimate Werewolf. That's the one where I mentioned you could play like almost unlimited. It's 5 players to 75 players.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. So that one's fun. I also have a few that are a little bit more obscure. So there's one that we really liked playing, which is Bloodborne. I forget the full name, but it's a Bloodborne
themed
game.
Let's go. Yeah, that one was awesome.
Yeah, super cool. It was fun. I think it was like a medium length, where it's like maybe half an hour games or so. So it wasn't like super crazy, but that was definitely a good one that we liked.
Very akin to the actual game too.
Oh, for sure. And it's nice too, because you get like I think it's 4 players max. So rather than the game that you really play 1 or 2 players, I think you can play like maybe 3, maybe 4. It's been a while. But yes, a super fun game. And for those of you who haven't checked out Bloodborne, please do yourselves a favor and play kind of From Software game, whether that be Bloodborne, Demon Souls, one of the Dark Souls,
Sekiro,
good stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I also have, there's a game that's kind of like Munchkins, but it's the Binding of Isaac themed, which is really cool. Yeah, it's really nice.
I like that you also have themes to the board games as well. I mean, we all know that like Monopoly has themes like Monopolies and stuff, but I'm also glad to hear that there are themed board games as well for us gamers.
I like that too. I know it's their attempt to make the game like more marketable or more like,
of course,
appealing to folks. But like you said, like it can also change the experience, because you could say, oh, Monopoly, that sounds awful. But you could get Dragon Ball Z Monopoly and it's like, oh, Goku. Yeah. Okay, why didn't you say so? You know? So it's, yes, I 100% agree. It's a good way to get folks in interested, invested in all that wonderful stuff. For some of the last ones I own, a cool one too, and there's many different versions of it. Actually, since we just talked about themed games, this is perfect. It's called Codenames. It's kind of like sort of like charades in a way, and they have like Disney versions, they have Marvel versions, they have DC, they have like for couples. You have 2 team leaders. There's a board full of cards, and you have to give your team a clue consisting of 1 word and a number, the number being how many words on the board you want them to guess. Your team has to figure it out. So for example, if a lot of you are like really into Marvel, then Marvel Codenames is going to be perfect for you, because you understand some of the references your team leader might make. You kind of understand the characters and you have background knowledge. There's a general one, which is kind of like a little of everything, which is good. I think, because like if you're playing with people that haven't seen any of the movies or read a comic book in their life, they're not going to have a good time if you try to throw them all this like
lore and
exactly
characters. Like, who is this? I don't know.
Yeah, so you know, there's one of that for everybody too. And if you really know people, it's cool because you could say really obscure things like an inside joke that people wouldn't really understand except for that other person. And it's like, I understand exactly what you're saying. Say less, and then you guess it right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we should try that one.
For sure. And also, I forgot to mention that Betrayal on the House on the Hill is on tabletop for free. So if you don't have a big table, they give you a huge table in the simulator.
Nice. How much you think you have already spent, if you don't mind me asking, on your board games?
So I've spent probably, and this is actually a little bit, okay, so I'll answer your question. Let's say roughly I may have around 12 or so board games, if they were like around 30 each. Let's say at least like 300, right? Uh-huh. But I've actually spent a little more too, and this is only for folks who really want to go the extra mile. So I buy trading card sleeves because many of the games come with cards themselves.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah,
because you got to keep your shit clean, man.
Exactly. You got to keep it clean. You got to be able to, you know, because you can change the sleeves. So if someone's eating and touching your cards, like, you definitely want to have them covered, because when it gets like ruined, you have to buy the game all over again. So you don't want to do that.
Oof, yeah, totally.
The other thing I've been able to do in the past, which is pretty cool too, is because I have some friends that I played with regularly, I wouldn't like solicit money for the board games necessarily, but I would say like, hey, I'm planning on picking up this game. It's really fun. Does anyone want to chip in?
Yeah, and
usually,
totally.
Usually we'd be able to do that and just kind of like a give and take in that sense. My friend who is hosting for us to be able to come over and play these games, he didn't really have tables for it, so we all chipped in money for him to be able to buy like two of, I think either one or two of those like picnic table type of things, like the ones that kind of like fold up and you put them on.
Yeah,
so like we helped him out by getting the tables, and like he's helped out by helping get the game. So it's kind of like you can kind of like community pool for some of these things, and that way everyone kind of gets access to it since you're all meeting up fairly regularly. And it's not really burning a hole in your pocket.
No, that's dope. I really am glad that you also mentioned that too. And you have mentioned other board game players. So before we kind of wrap things up, what about the community of board game players? And, you know, do you have anything to say about that?
I would say, and maybe it's more anecdotally, but the community of players that I've experienced of board games tend to be very welcoming because these games are designed to play with players. And at the end of the day, a board game player is going to want to play their favorite game, even if they don't know the person, than True. To like push, like scare people off. Because at the end of the day, it's like, if you can't find players to play your game with, you're kind of screwed unless it's a single player. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, I think they're a little bit more welcoming because they're like, you know, if you like this game, we can play it more often. And that's the whole point, is like, I want people to play this game with me. So they have normally that mindset. There's people who are still like mean or unnecessary.
Right. In certain areas. We got a bunch of those assholes everywhere.
Yeah, for sure. But when I went to the event, PAX Unplugged, which is literally a convention, of course, for people who play board games that paid for hotels, paid for the tickets, and traveled to Philadelphia to go there, pretty much everyone was really nice. This is one thing that I'm really glad I went to the event too. The developers of the board games are so, so cool. They're mad chill. So fun.
Nice.
I even got a lot of them to sign the game for me that I bought from them because I love the game. I was like, yo, you guys are fantastic.
Yeah.
Really happy you made this game. And then they're like, oh, do you want me to sign it for you? I was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
why not?
Please, yeah.
Yeah, go for it. One thing too, and this ties into a game I forgot to mention that I bought that day, is called Buy the Vote. That game gets a shout out too because two things. One, well, three. They signed it for me, which is cool. But it was a really fun game. I'll show you sometime, Vic. I don't think it's on tabletop, but when you come back, I'll bring it next time.
Hey.
Or if we go to Florida, I'll bring it next time, maybe. is that the guy, the developer, one of them, he told me two things. He told me, one, that they created the game to teach kids how the political system works. And so it's kind of education based, but it's really fun. Like, I know little to nothing of politics, and playing that game kind of helped to understand some things, but it still is a very fun game.
I like that, yeah.
The second thing, too, is that he told me there is not a lot of money in board games.
What did he mean
Mind
by
you.
that?
So, in other words, he was telling me he didn't step into this industry to make a
To make
killing
money.
off of, like, I made this game. This shit's going to be like the next Monopoly. I'm going to be a billionaire. Like, nothing like that. Like, in other words, it's a passion project for people. Like, yes, they have to sell the product to be able to, like, either make a small profit, make a decent profit, whatever, pay for what they put into it for it to be created. But the idea is, these folks typically are doing it because they love it, because they love board games, because they want others to enjoy the satisfaction, the happiness they've experienced from some of their other favorite board games, and they give it back to the world by creating their own version, adding something new to it. And so that's what I took away from when he said, there's not that much money in
Ooh.
board games. We do it because we love it. Like, that's more or less what he really said. So
Oh man, you gotta love to hear stuff like that.
exactly. And being able to support these folks, being able to either go and meet them and say, I love your work, giving them some kind of shout out on social media, or even just buying the product itself or telling people
Yeah.
about it too. That's such a good way to keep the community going, to make sure people know that, like, hey, this thing existed, I think you'll really like. And that's what I try to do with board games. Not to get people to, like, buy them or stuff like that, but with Valiant Wars, right? Like, I showed it to you, I showed it to other people. I'll tell the developer, because I message him on Discord. I'll be like, yo, like, I just showed it to some people. They really love your game. Like, keep up the good work.
Nah, that is completely awesome. That is completely what you want to hear with stuff like this. And I'm glad that you brought up a lot of the stuff that's in the community because it warms my heart, right? And I don't mean to sound cheesy and all that stuff, but that's what this is about, man. Board games or just getting people together. That's the main goal. And there's a lot that went into this podcast episode today, and I really want to thank you for expressing your enthusiasm and really getting out there what it means to play some board games and gather people and learn and be somebody else and bring out your kid. And before we wrap up the episode, I just want to ask, is there anything else you want to mention or say, about board games and just life in general, if you got anything about that too?
Yeah, of course. Before I do that, as last time, and I know we'll do it after, but like, subscribe, donate to VIX OnlyFans. he's an awesome guy. He's doing fantastic work here. And if you like, if you learn new things, like about board games that you've never thought of before, maybe it's got you interested. Definitely, if you can, share the podcast, if nothing else. But also feel free, because like Vic was saying, people were gracious enough to say nice things about me. Give some of that love to Vic too, so it helps
Hey,
him know he's
thank
doing the
you,
right
bro.
thing.
Appreciate that 100.
No problem. As for some final closing thoughts, I'll say, when it comes to board games, certainly we touch on some virtues or some really good characteristics that can help you in life, not even just in these games, such as patience.
Ooh,
I
man.
think one of the good things too to have, and this will help you practice that, is being able to let go. That kind of comes to resentments, that kind of comes to like pride too, because it's very easy to love these games when you're winning, right? But when other players are actively trying to screw you over or to impede you, right? It's very easy to take that personally, or to, like, say, oh, I'm gonna get them next game. And that's, as long as you do it in a healthy way, it's fine. But you never want to be able to play a game like this knowing what you're going into, where you're going to be put up against your friends and take that personally and be like, no, what you did to me was not okay. Like, if it's in the context of the game, right? Like,
Totally.
it'll be okay. So, if you think that you might have a hard time being someone who may go a little bit too far when it comes to, like, an eye for an eye or whatever, maybe this could be a good way to practice that in a safe space and kind of, like, say, oh, you know what? Like, someone screwed me over, but there was really nothing at stake. So, I'm gonna get them next game, but it's not gonna be like a personal thing. We're not gonna have a blood feud because, you shot me in secret, Hitler, or something like that.
Yeah,
So,
that's a fight. That's a fight.
Oh, I almost forgot, and this would have been bad if I didn't mention it, but one of my favorite games too, and this is one that from our group, Vic, that we usually like to play is Three Kingdoms, Legends of the Three
Oh
Kingdoms.
man, such a great game, such a great game.
And I get excited that Vic and the others really like this game too, because this was like one of the first ones I actually introduced to them. I think it was that in Secret Hitler maybe. And Legends of the Three Kingdoms is kind of like Secret Hitler, except it's themed around, if I'm not mistaken, like China with like warlords. And so you have some of those ancient heroes like Lu Bu, for those who know the Dynasty Warrior series. And it has the same principles as Secret Hitler. You have the monarch, which is like the leader. You have the kind of like let's just say like the high-ranking officials, like the counselors or something,
All
who
right.
like help the bishops or whatever. And then you have like rebels, you have all these other traits and secret rules and stuff. So super fun game. And that's one where it's easy to say like, oh, you killed me, so now I'm gonna take that personally. But
Every turn you'll beat their
exactly, it's like I don't even care if you're on my team, it's over, it's on sight, I'm coming after you, God help you, because it's over. But you can do that, and it can be fun, you know, that's still okay. There's nothing wrong with that kind of play style. But also keep in mind too that, you know, when you're playing with the same group of people, the letting go part really helps, because if like one person who got you the first time you played, you know, you make their life hell for the next game. But then you do that every single day you play from that one time, like that's not going to be fun. People
Yeah,
aren't going
that
to want to play
no.
with you.
Oh, totally.
So you can even spread out the hate, you know, you can choose your victim
You
every play session or whatever, but
get some
the
hate. You
idea
get
is
some hate. Everybody.
it's okay. Again, it's a safe space, and going back to being able to act a little differently, you know, let out some of those like urges, you know, if you
Some
want
steam.
to exactly, if you want to actually like go after someone and just like in the game, you know, with the rules, like actually go. Oh yeah, we didn't really talk about that, but don't cheat. These things are all fun, you know,
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
there's
That goes without saying. Come on.
exactly. And there are some people who are like, I want to win bad enough where I
I'm
will
cheating
cheat in Monopoly, I'll steal from the bank. I've heard of these people.
Monopoly, man. That's crazy. That's a violation.
Yeah.
Go to jail for that, literally.
There are people who take it a little too far. So balance. Balance is very important. It's meant for fun, and as long as you keep it wholesome, you can insult each other, you can joke around, make fun of each other and all that stuff. But at the base of it all, you're there to have fun, and as long as you keep that rooted, you're gonna have a good time.
Hey, let's go. Amen, man. I love this episode, man. I really appreciate you. Well said. Well said to all of it. A lot of life lessons here, and really just want to wrap up the episode there. Feel like we got everything out. Definitely check out some board games, man. Definitely get out there, go visit a friend. Go surprise them with some Scrabble or something. I don't know, man. Just get it, you know, get by the fireplace and really enjoy your time with these people, the people you love. Get to know different people, go out to communities and try new things out, let off some steam and just live life, man. And have that balance. I think I mentioned everything, but before I wrap this up, before I finish the episode, I just want to ask you one thing. It's really fun doing these episodes, and this is probably the first time that I'm announcing this, but March 22nd will be the 1 year anniversary of the Infinite Lives Again podcast, and I am personally inviting you. You can decline if you want to, but I'm personally inviting you to a live. I want to have a bunch of people Instagram live. I don't know how I'm gonna do this yet, but the details will come out soon. And I just want to have a bunch of gamers on celebrating games and celebrating 1 year of Infinite Lives in Game, because it's been a blast. And I want to officially invite you, good sir, if you wouldn't mind.
That sounds like a wonderful idea. I can't believe time flew already that fast, but congratulations on the upcoming 1 year. That sounds fantastic. I'd love to be is it kind of like other folks too from the other episodes, like a
Yeah, it's
kind of
just
like a
gonna
panel
be,
of
yeah,
sorts?
and you know what? Everybody's gonna be invited, but if you want to be like live or one of the speakers, then we'll set that up. And I would definitely like you to be one of the speakers if you wouldn't mind.
Of course, no problem. That sounds like a lot of fun, and thank you, you know, to get back. It's such a wonderful opportunity to be able to talk about some of the things that I'm really interested and passionate about. I never would have thought, you know, of like one myself on a podcast, or even like any kind of presence on a podcast. So,
Hey, let's
you know,
get it.
in a way you helped to give me a voice through this. And again, you know, every credit for these fun conversations goes back to you. You have such a wonderful project here. You have good people that you've brought. I enjoy the other episodes, not just my own, of course, even though mine are my favorite, of course. But yes, so I think that's so cool. And again, congratulations. I really love what you do here. So it's always a blast whenever you need me, including for the upcoming
event. Hey, let's get it. I appreciate you, brother. And as always, guys, you guys haven't seen that last episode with Super Smash Brothers and my good sir Deka, Jeffrey Scott, you can check it out. That was a lot of fun. Today was a lot of fun. And moving forward, we will have a lot of great and fun projects. And as I mentioned, you know, the 1 year anniversary. So look forward to that stuff, guys. And I'm going to close it out there. As always, guys, I want you guys to stay healthy, stay safe, and of course, stay infinite.